We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year. It is Tuesday, January 2nd, and if you are like most of us here in America, it's back to work. Schools, at least in Texarkana, are not back yet, but they're getting ready to be this week. And so the break that many of us were privileged to enjoy, starting at about, Friday, right before Christmas, many were off on that Friday. And then that week between Christmas and New Year's is always very slow, unless you work in retail or something like that, and then it's extremely busy. But it is back to work. Now, the wonderful thing about a new year, and I was not in the pulpit on the 31st of December. Dr. Chris Schroeder preached for me and did a marvelous job, preached about Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord, who was the Lord himself, and talked about the power to change. The wonderful thing about a new year is it's a new opportunity. It's almost like if you play golf, it's a mulligan. Every golfer knows what a mulligan is. That's an opportunity to hit another shot. You didn't like the first shot you hit, you get to hit another shot. Now, normally you just get a mulligan off the first tee. That's the way I play with the guys I play with. It's like, okay, first tee, if you don't like that tee shot, you can hit a mulligan. And it doesn't count against you. It's just a new opportunity to better your situation. Well, a new year is that. Really, every day is a new opportunity. This is what the Lord says in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is such a great book. I know lots of people haven't ever really delved into Lamentations. It's the lamenting of the prophet Jeremiah as he sees the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC as Nebuchadnezzar came in on his third trip into to the Holy Land and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned Solomon's beautiful temple and hauled all the valuables off. And Jeremiah just breaks down in anguish. But this is what he says in chapter 3. He says to the Lord, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." What is it that he has hope in? "For the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." Now, you're probably familiar. The song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," comes from Lamentations 3, 20:23. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, the Lord's loving kindnesses and his compassions." Well, a start of a new year is a lot like that in just a bigger dose, because it's like, okay, we put 2023, it is gone. And what we have before us is a new opportunity. It's a new opportunity to seek the Lord. It's an opportunity to have, as Chris preached Sunday, to have the Lord change your life. And if you know anything about the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord, Genesis 32, he won the wrestling match because he lost the wrestling match. A lot of us are wrestling with God over a situation, over something that we want to do, and He says no to it, and we want to yield. You know, I mean, Jesus in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And all of us have things that we struggle with and as it relates to the Word of God and the will of God, we struggle with that. Oh, Lord, but I know you want me to do X, but I don't want to do X. And so help me to do X. We struggle in the area of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a striving that goes on inside. But Jacob won the battle because he yielded. And the Lord wrestled with him all night. Now, don't ever get the idea that Jacob was that great a wrestler. The Lord was just going to see, how long are you going to go before you tap out? How long before you say, Uncle, how long before you yield to me? And Jacob did yield to him. And the Lord changed Jacob's name from Jacob, which means trickster, supplanter, heel grabber, con man, to Israel, which means prince with God, or a God-mastered man, as Warren Wiersbe says, a God-mastered man. And he limped the rest of his life because the Lord touched the socket of his thigh and in his hip. And so he had to always limp. And it was a constant reminder that I can't do this without the Lord's help. I need him, and God is my master, and I've yielded my life to him. And that's what the new year can be for you. You can yield anew and afresh. You have a mulligan, and it didn't just start yesterday. You may have not had a good day yesterday. You may have really blown it yesterday with losing your temper. I was playing golf yesterday with a good friend of mine, and I was really struggling like I do in golf. I like mulligans. I need a whole lot of them in golf. But I was just kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I said to my friend Dean, I said, you know, this game, golf, it can really make you start cussing. Because it's just it can be so frustrating. Now, just so you know, I don't cuss on the golf course, but I do have a favorite word, and my friends will tell you that play golf with me, my word is disappointing. It seems like every other shot is a disappointment. It's disappointing to me, but I still love golf. I'm not very good at golf, but I love golf. And so you go into golf and you say, I need a mulligan. And God says, okay, in life, you have a mulligan. And 2024 is a mulligan. It's your do-over. And to know that the Lord's faithfulness is new every morning. Every morning is like a mulligan. You can start over and say, okay, this day, this is the day the Lord has made. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. All you have is this day. Well, this day, I'm going to live it for the Lord. So let me just encourage you. I wrote this to our church and said, okay, so a new year, new opportunities, new goals. You know, we talk about New Year's resolutions, and I'm okay with that. But I think it's just new goals, and it's good to have goals. And so, you know, what if you set these goals for yourself, so these spiritual goals? Number one is spending time reading the Bible every day. You know, the Bible is our milk, it's our meat, it's our bread, it's food for the soul. And as you spend time in the Word of God, some people love to do the read the Bible through. Debbie has done that every year for, she told me, like 25 plus years. She reads the Bible through every year. Well, I've done that just a couple of times. And that's not a good program for me because that's too much distance reading. I like to read for depth and not just for distance. And so when I read too many passages at one time, I can't remember them. So I'm better at honing in on three or four chapters from different places in the Bible. I read some Psalms every day. I read a proverb every day. I read in the Old Testament, read in the New Testament, and memorize things. And so, but it might be, if you've never read the Bible through, I encourage you to do it. And, you know, if that seems like too much, well, then read the New Testament through. Just say, I'm going to focus in on reading through the New Testament. And you just march through. Start with Matthew and just march through and have a notebook as you read and jot down questions. And listen, there's a great website, gotquestions.org. I think it's .org, gotquestions.org. And that has lots of different subjects in there that give you succinct answers, because nobody wants to read 10 pages on a question. So it's succinct answers, and it can help you a lot. But it's good to read with a notebook and a piece of with a notebook and a pen or pencil, and write those questions down and talk to other Christians about those who are further along in the faith. And I encourage people, say, hey, if you're reading something, you don't understand it. People in my church, I say, well, email me, let me know, and I'll try and help you out with that. I may not know the answer either, but I might be able to help you find a good answer. You know, some things aren't very clear. God just didn't give us a lot of information, and so we don't know. And we have to really hone in on the things we can know from Scripture and not the things that we can't necessarily know from Scripture, because there's just not enough Scripture. There's not enough information. So Bible reading is key. How about this one for your 2024? How about Scripture memorization? Now, some people are better at memorizing than other people. I was good at memorizing when I was younger. When I was in my early 20s, I had a mind to memorize. It's harder and harder for me to do that today, but it still makes such a difference. When you focus in on, you know, surely you can memorize one verse a week. And if you get focused on it and you write it down on a card and you put it on your mirror when you get ready in the morning, you look at that verse over and over and over and over and over again, you can memorize it. And here's the cool thing. If you take a book of the Bible, let's say the book of Jude, second to the last book in the New Testament, Jude is just one chapter. It's just 25 verses. And so you take the book of Jude and say, you know, if I memorize a verse a week and I do it in the book of Jude, in 25 weeks, I can memorize, it's half a year, I can memorize the whole book of Jude. And that's not an unreachable goal. That's not something that's pie in the sky. So Scripture memorization, that is critical. Prayer, obviously, prayer is critical. We will devote ourselves, the apostle said, to prayer and the ministry of the word, Acts 6. And so we put those together, and Bible reading and prayer go together. Bible reading is God speaking to you. Prayer is you speaking to God, and we need to pray. I've been reading a devotional by Johnny Erickson Tada, and it's with Brother Lawrence. She took some of his older writings, and she interacts with those. And he talked about praying, and he said, you know, we don't need to pray long stretches. You know how some people will say, oh, I'll just, you know, I need to pray for an hour, and they'll go into their prayer closet and pray for an hour. That's very difficult for people to do. Let's just be honest. And those that, you know, you've heard about praying Hyde, who had camel's knees because he prayed so long, he was just on his knees and prayed for hours. Very few people can do that. So it's better to say, hey, I'm gonna be committed to prayer. But as Adrian Rogers used to say, I don't pray a long time at one sitting, but there's not a long time between prayer times. And so he's praying without ceasing. He's praying all through the day, and not just a concentrated hour on his knees necessarily. Now, if you can do that, that's great. But make prayer a priority in your life. And prayer, when you couple it with fasting, fasting is like turbocharging your prayer. Fasting is saying no to food for a meal, for several meals, for a day, for several days, and you starve out the flesh and you focus in on the things of the Spirit. And, you know, typically when there's something big in your life, a big decision, or you're faced with some kind of catastrophe or tragedy or pending, you know, situation that somebody's sick in the hospital or whatever it might be, a marriage situation where it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, you fast. That shows God that you're very, very serious about that. And so prayer and fasting and Scripture memory and Bible reading, those are all things that we can do. How about witnessing? You know, witnessing is something God wants us to do. He's called us to be His witness and tell people about Jesus. And then fellowship, being with the family of God, saying, hey, in 2024, church is going to be a priority in my life. I'm going to find a good, solid, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where the people love the Lord and they love one another, and I'm going to dig in there. I'm going to really plug in. I'm going to get involved there. God will bless you. He'll bless me as we do these things. These are basic things, but they're key things. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the new year, a mulligan that the Lord has given us, and we can use it to the full. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, and God is faithful. Well, as you have heard, no doubt, on December 28th, the founder of American Family Association, American Family Radio, Don Wildman, went home to be with the Lord. And Don had been fighting sickness for a long time, and so it's a blessing. I feel for the Wildman family, but I know this is a blessing, and I'm so happy for Don as faith has turned to sight. And he, I believe, heard the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones, the death of His saints. And so on the 28th of December, it was a precious thing when Don breathes his last in this life and his first in glory. And so the legacy he has left behind is just incredible. And just encourage you to pray for the Wildman family. And Tim, Don's son, just does a tremendous job leading American Family Association and the boys, and just a great group here at AFA and AFR. And so we appreciate them so much. Well, you may have stayed up late last night, as I did. I'm a Texas Longhorn graduate and a Texas Longhorn fan. And so I watched to the bitter end, and I didn't think we played very well against Washington. Hats off to Washington. They played great. Their quarterback was lights out, and our defense was they needed to turn the lights on. And so we struggled, but we had a chance at the end. We had several plays from the 12-yard line to win the game. If we had scored a touchdown and made the extra point, we would have won by 1 point. We lost by 6, 37-31. And so that makes getting into bed late. Now, I'm not a late night guy. I didn't even last till 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And so that made for an interesting night last night and early morning. The alarm went off and it was early. Maybe you watched the Liberty Bowl yesterday. We had, or not the Liberty Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl with Liberty University in there. That was exciting. We had talked to President Don DeCosta just right before the holidays, and a great interview with him. And I just really appreciate that guy. Just an amazing man, all that he's accomplished as he leads Liberty University. But they didn't play very well. They didn't show out, and so it was a little bit of a disappointment. But we appreciate all that's going on at Liberty University. And I had tweeted out just the other day, man, if I had, or put it on Facebook or something, but if I had a high schooler that was looking at college, Liberty would be top of the list, because that's going to be a solid Christian education, and they are holding to true north, holding to the true north of Scripture, and you can be confident that your child will go there and not come home hating God, hating the Bible, disbelieving everything, their faith totally deconstructed, hating America, all those terrible things. Well, I want to encourage you, as I was encouraged on Sunday by Dr. Chris Schroeder. He preached at First Baptist Texarkana. He talked about a word. You know, you might have heard this, where people kind of take a word, and then that's going to be the word for their word for the year. And it's just something to kind of hang their hat on. It's something to kind of keep them directed and keep them focused. And we've always, since I've been at First Baptist Texarkana, I've always had a word, not just one word, but a phrase for the church, that this is what we are focused on. This is what we are doing. We had a phrase one year, arise and build, because we needed to do some reconstruction in the worship center. We needed to remodel and the foyers and those kinds of things. So arise and build. We had getting ready for company one year that we said, hey, the church is, we need to make the church a welcoming place for people, because we believe as we lift up the name of Jesus, that he's going to draw men to himself. And so we need to get ready for company. Just like when you would have company come to your house, you're going to make sure things look good. You're not going to have, a mess in the front yard. You're going to clean all that up. You're not going to have weeds everywhere. You're not going to have as soon as you walk in the door, well, here's the vacuum cleaner. We forgot to put it up, that kind of thing. And so you're going to get ready for company. And so we had that one year. This year for First Baptist Texarkana, our word, our little phrase is the truth in love, from Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him. And so that's what we're focusing on, is speaking the truth, preaching the truth, living in the truth. And that is my word for the year, is truth, truth. The Bible says in Psalm 51 that God desires truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, he will make me to know wisdom, David said. But truth in the innermost being, that means that you're walking in the light as he himself is in the light. That means there, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Truth is you're walking in the light. Truth is so critical. We call this program Real Truth for Today, because there are just an ocean of lies that is being proposed and propagated and promulgated all over our land. People lie about everything. People think truth is subjective. It's just subjective. Well, that's your truth. You know, Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Well, that's your truth. Well, it's not my truth. It's just truth. Well, that's what you believe. That's just subjective. We like to make everything subjective. And what is the difference between a subjective truth and an objective truth? Well, a subjective truth is an opinion. It's what you think. It's what you, your own personal preference. You know, if I said the candy bar Snickers is the best candy bar around, well, that might be for me. That's a subjective truth. That truth is not in the Snickers bar. It's in me. I'm the subject, and it's not in the object. The object is the Snickers. There's nothing that says Snickers is the best candy bar around, other than that's what I say. Well, when it comes to truth, real truth is not subjective. Subjective truth is just an opinion. Real truth is objective. Objective truth means the truth is in the object. So if you take the person of the Lord Jesus and what he did, Jesus is God in the flesh. That's not a subjective truth statement. That's an objective truth statement. It doesn't matter whether I believe that or not. My belief in that doesn't change the veracity of that one little bit, or my disbelief in it doesn't change it. Jesus is God in the flesh. He proved he was God in the flesh by the ministry that he did as he walked the earth, healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, cast out the demons. Jesus said, you know, if you don't believe me by my words, well, believe by the works. I mean, Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. The critics of Jesus never tried to deny his miracles. You couldn't deny his miracles because everyone could see them. And so what did they do? They couldn't explain those away, so they would say, well, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And Jesus would say, well, that's just ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense. How does Satan cast out Satan? If Satan casts out Satan, then his house is divided, and a house divided cannot stand. And so it was illogical, but they couldn't deny the miracles, and the miracles authenticated the message. And the message is that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man and the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And that is an objective fact, an objective truth, a fact of history. And it's not something you can put into the lab. It's not like the law of gravity where you can just test it all the time. You have to do the proper historical test to determine, okay, based on all the evidence, what is the most compelling argument that concerning Jesus? Now, his disciples said he stole away, the disciples said he rose from the dead, but we say that they stole away his body. Well, that doesn't make sense. They were scared to death. They weren't going to steal away his body. They weren't going to go up against Rome. They had a guard watching the tomb. They put a seal on the tomb. You mess with this tomb, and we'll crucify you. And so they weren't going to do that. Well, he didn't really die, is one of the other theories. Well, that's ridiculous. The centurion who had watched and presided over many crucifixions and many deaths, he declared that he had died. They didn't break his legs because he had already died. Remember, they hit him in the side with a spear and the blood and water flowed, showing that his heart had burst. And Jesus, if you want to be super technical, he died of a broken heart. They didn't have to break his legs. You know, when a man's on a cross, the only way he can breathe is by pushing up on his legs. So to hasten death, they would break the person's legs and to make it to the where they couldn't push up anymore, and then they would just die from suffocation. And so they didn't have to do that with Jesus. He declared that he was dead, and based on all the punishment that Jesus had to undergo for you and for me, there's no way he could have survived that, and he didn't survive it. And so when you look at all the many, many things, you just say the only explanation for Christianity and for the preaching of the apostles and for those guys giving their lives for the truth that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, that has to be what it was. That's the only thing that makes sense of the transformation that took place in the life of Peter and James and John and Paul. Later, Paul came to Christ, Acts chapter 9, and the one who was destroying the faith was now proclaiming the faith, and he was the trophy of God's grace, such a testimony of the fact that the Lord changes lives. He is alive and he changes lives, and Paul is exhibit A. So all that to say, my word for the year is truth, is truth. Now, I think it's good to have a word for the year, and I encourage you to pray about that to see what is your word for the year? What does 2024 hold for you, and what does God want to use in your life to anchor you? So truth for me, to walk in the truth, to speak the truth in love, to let the truth, the word of God, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, Father, is truth. And so I want to saturate myself in the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all the truth. And so truth is critical. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. Truth is so important. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that's my word for the year. to speak the truth in love, to not back down off of the truth, and to live in the truth. And as I live in the truth, because God desires, Psalm 51, God desires truth in the innermost being, as I do that, the Lord will be pleased, the Lord will be blessed. Well, I'd love to hear from you. What is going on in your 2024? And if God has given you a word for the year, I'd love for you to share it with us. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses said, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Hey, we don't know how much time we have left. I'm going to be leaving tonight to go to Houston, Texas to be a part of, speak at my dear friend Tom Reeder's funeral. He passed away from pancreatic cancer right before Christmas. And Tom's just a year and a half older than I am. And he's one of the first close friends that I've lost in my life. And man, it was painful. I love Tom Reeder. Just such a wonderful, wonderful guy. Well, I'm honored to get to speak at his service tomorrow in Houston. But listen, we don't know how much time we have. We don't know if this year is the last year. We don't know if today's the last day. And so, as you've heard me say before, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may not come. All we have is today. And let all who seek you, the Bible says, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. What does Jeremiah say? His loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. God is a faithful God. And this year we can make an impact for the Lord as we trust him, as we seek him. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hey, you have a mulligan. 2024 is a mulligan. It's an opportunity. And here on Tuesday, it's not the first day of January, obviously, but it's the first day back, because most of us were off on January 1st. It's the first day back. Let's make this day count. Let's make this month count. Let's make this year count for the Lord. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Call in and let's talk. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program, and The phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about a new year. We've been talking about the wonderful experience of having a mulligan, a do-over, an opportunity. If you messed up, you know, in golf, that's a golfing term, mulligan. You messed up. Hey, hit another shot. It's not going to count against you. And so a new year is kind of like God saying, okay, that year is over, but what are you going to do with what you have now before you? A lot of us live in regret. That's a terrible way to live. And you can't unscramble eggs. What's happened in the past has happened. All you can do is move forward. I think it was John Maxwell that wrote a book called Failing Forward. And so, hey, did you have failures in 2023? Sure, and so did I. But let's not let those cause us to fail in 2024. Mack Brown, the coach of North Carolina Tar Heels, used to be the coach of Texas Longhorns. He had this statement. It's a good statement. He said, "You don't let one loss beat you twice." And so you lose a heartbreaker of a game, but then you're still hung over from that loss, and so that loss beats you the next game because you're thinking about, oh man, we blew it in the previous game. Don't let one loss beat you twice. You gotta, okay, Debbie is great with the girls when they have a setback. She said, okay, you can be sad about this for the next 20 minutes, and then we're letting it go and we're moving forward. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul said that in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so we are talking about the word for the year. What word has the Lord given you? What is kind of on your heart that can kind of help you stay focused in 2024? I had mentioned for me, the word is truth. And for our church, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And truth is critical. Debbie's word for the year is the word fill, F-I-L-L. I said, okay, Debbie, explain that to me, fill. And she said, well, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be surrendered to the Lord. I want to do the things, focus most of my time on things that fill my heart, things that I'm gifted to do, and not things that are a drain. You know, everybody has in his life, in his job, you have drains and fills, drains and fills. If your job is mostly a drain and it's not a fill, that's a problem, because then you're going to be operating in areas where I'm not very good at this. That's why I feel it's such a drain to me. So when you operate in things that you're good at, that's like a fish swimming in water. Man, that's just a natural thing. I'm good at that because God has gifted you that way. That's not a drain. That's a fill. And so Debbie said her word is fill, and she wants to make sure she's doing most of the things in her life that are fills and that are going to be a blessing to other people, because as she's filled up, she can pour out to others and not things that are a drain. And so, you know, a word is a good thing to have to kind of keep you focused, keep you on true north, and say, Lord, this is what I want you to do in my life this year as I look to you, keep my eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, we have Greg on the line from Kentucky. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, thank you so much for your ministry. Just love when my schedule permits me to listen to you in the morning. It's been a blessing to me, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
So, go ahead. The word that comes to mind when you said that is obedience. Just doing some study on the first, and it led me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The verse is, the end of the matter has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that just made me realize my need to be obedient to Him. in everyday life, sometimes I'll get distracted and I find myself wondering about, why did I do that? Why did I not say this or make a stand, whatever that situation might be. And so that verse just really led me to my need to be obedient. I hadn't thought about it as a word for the year until you brought it up this morning. So I just thought I'd share that. And it also stuck out to me. This is the whole duty of man. Those really emphatic statements like that always capture my attention.
Amen. That's a good word, Greg. You know, I was writing an article for a publication that's going to come out later this year, and there are three things that are spiritual responses to the Lord that all fit together. And you had mentioned Ecclesiastes 12, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments. Fearing God, loving God, and obeying God. Those three go together. So you can't love God until the fear of the Lord is recognizing who God is. And God is God. He is the great, the mighty, the awesome God who doesn't show partiality nor take a bribe, as it says in Deuteronomy. And so we recognize that God is God. We recognize that we're not God. He's the master. We're the slave. And we worship Him. So there's the fear of the Lord that leads to the love of the Lord. Because you have to know who God is so you can respond to Him, so you can love Him. You have to hear about His love for you. And so when we recognize who He is, then we respond in kind. We love because He first loved us. And then Jesus said, real love is obedience. If you love Me, obey My commandments. And if we don't obey His commandments, then according to Jesus, we really don't love Him. Because he who has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will disclose Myself to him. And so that's a good word, Greg, obedience, and a good scripture verse in Ecclesiastes. And so I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners. And what do you do, Greg, there in Kentucky?
I'm in the corporate world. I'm in sales, and but that's my vocation. I guess my passion is more and more just being in the Word of God, and you know, back to my earlier comment, just, you know, love your program, because there's always some learning there for me, and I have quoted you many times, so.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, I'm in the corporate world.
Yeah. Okay. So before the Lord called me to preach, I was selling chemicals. I worked for a company called Nalco Chemical Company. Before that, I worked for waste management, and I did sales and outside sales. And so I feel for you. I know what it's like out there. And but when I was working in corporate America, they didn't have the DEI. All that stuff wasn't around. And I know that can be difficult in corporate life, with just the lunacy that is the diversity, equity, and inclusion. How are you handling that?
It's not really impacted me a whole lot. The industry that I'm in, the printing industry, it's a little bit of an older industry in the sense that most of the folks that I deal with are a little bit old school, but the corporation I work for is very woke. On my computer, for example, if I try to do a search on anything related to biblical matters, faith matters, I am blocked. I could sit on ESPN all day. I don't even look at ESPN, but if I wanted to do those things or, you know, any other secular thing, you know, I'm not blocked, but anything related to faith matters, the company, it blocks me. So it's not been too bad. I've not really had to deal with it head on. I really face that more so just in the culture at large as I interact with people. And I deal with it there. I guess as many Christ followers do, you're bound to encounter that if you're walking with your eyes open.
Yeah. It's going to become harder and harder, it's more of a challenge as Christians stand up in the workplace and they say no to preferred pronouns and all that lunacy. And just like, I'm not going to do that. I tell our congregation, I said, listen, to stand for Christ, you know, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen, you got to have the mind of a soldier, and you got to be willing to suffer hardship. And if you're going to stand for the truth, you're not going to knuckle under when they start putting pressure on you that you have to do this or you have to do that. I think the vaccine mandate was one of those things that I would have just said, I'm not doing that. You know, if I lose my job, I lose my job, but I'm not going to do that. And so hats off to you, amen, my brother. Well, may God bless you and use you. You know, when you're out in the trenches like that, and you're out and about meeting people, great opportunity to shine. We always use those two words, shine and share. And I was taught early on in my sales career, hey, now remember, they're not paying you to be an evangelist for the Lord Jesus, although, you know, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. But, you know, I think that our witness in the workplace is not preaching to everybody we see, but it's shining. It's not so much the verbal sharing, it's the shining. And as we shine, and as we're hardworking, and as we're honest, and as we're, upstanding and kind and caring, and people will notice, and they'll see there's something different about that guy. And that sales rep, Greg, man, he's what it means to be a Christian. I had a lady tell me one time, she worked at Texas A&M University at the power plant, and she said of her boss, she said, now that guy is a real Christian. She said, I never hear him talking bad about anybody, running anybody down. He always is positive. He's always kind and faithful and responsible and honest. She said, that's a real Christian. People notice. And so as we make a difference in the workplace, people will notice as we shine. As it says in Acts chapter 4, of the apostles, they recognize them as having been with Jesus. And so may people do that with you, Greg, as you're obedient to the Lord and as you walk with him. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 589-8840. We just have a few minutes left, but I'd love to hear from you. And, you know, when we get into this stuff about New Year's resolutions, some people are really against those. Ah, that's just a bunch of bunk. But I think it is good to have a goal. And so I told my family I have a goal. I want to get healthier in terms of my weight. I've watched in the month of December, I've watched the weight keep going up on the scale. I need to see it start to go down on the scale. So to eat more healthy and to exercise more regularly, those are good things to do. And listen, I had a friend text me yesterday, and he said, hey, I'm needing to listen to some good sermons while I'm on the treadmill. Who would you recommend? And I said, well, I didn't know at first that he was joking, but I said, well, we have a lot of resources at fromhisheart.org. You can listen to me if you'd like. And he said, oh, I'm just kidding you. He said, I heard you say that you listen to a lot of John MacArthur when you're working out. And he said, I was just kind of poking fun a little bit. And so I do listen to a lot of John MacArthur and others. I love to listen to Q&As. John MacArthur has a whole on gty.org, has a whole host of just hours and hours of Q&As. And I think Q&As are important because you hear on a lot of different subjects, people asking questions, asking a lot of questions about age of accountability, what happens to babies when they die, about losing your salvation, is that possible? What does the Bible teach about that? Difficult passages of Scripture, Hebrews 6, other things that are kind of hard passages. And so you can listen to all those, gty.org. We have one last caller, Joe from North Carolina. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, morning there, Pastor. Hey, I got a quick trend issue that I detected in 2023 that maybe through prayer and supplication we can reverse it in 2024. For years, I've been doing door-to-door discipleship, you know, track, and then follow-on discussion with folks that do want to talk. And we've shifted gears and we've gone to highway intersections. And that's going pretty good. But one disturbing trend, as I've noticed, younger adults that have like a 10, 12-year-old in the front seat, when we have signs that we hold up saying, track, gospel track, please take one. And I'm not kidding you, for the last five times that we've been out, zero have rolled out, you know, the little kid in the passenger seat. Dad didn't tell him or mom didn't tell him to roll down the window. And what I'm concerned about is these guys are, you know, in the...
Hey, Joe, we're out of time. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you in 2024. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.